Good morning and welcome. Today, we celebrate the solemnity of the ascension of our Lord. Our first reading for today provides us with quite a bit of information regarding the ascension. We learned that the ascension had taken place over 40 days following the resurrection of our Lord. Throughout those 40 days, Jesus spent quite a bit of time speaking to his disciples about the kingdom of God. Jesus also instructed his disciples to await there in Jerusalem for the time when the promise of the Father would be fulfilled with regards to their reception of the Holy Spirit. Our scripture readings provide us with a good amount of details regarding the events that occurred on that day of the ascension, along with some insight into what is to happen next in the lives of the disciples. Jesus commands his disciples to continue the work that was begun by our Lord, the work of spreading the gospel. Jesus instructs his disciples to go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. This then, following the ascension of our Lord, becomes a key focus of our celebration of this solemnity, that the time has now come for both the disciples and for us to continue the good work that was begun by our Lord in proclaiming the gospel to the whole world by revealing to all those we encounter God's love and God's desire for us to turn our hearts back to Him. How do we then accomplish this task of proclaiming the gospel? It seems like rather a difficult task to try and accomplish. And yes, it can be a difficult task, especially if we were to try and do it by ourselves. But Jesus does not want us to try and fulfill this task on our own. Rather, with the help of the Holy Spirit. It is with the help of the Holy Spirit that we will be able to accomplish this goal of proclaiming the gospel to the whole world, of bringing others to our Lord and Savior. That is why Jesus asked his disciples to await there in Jerusalem for the fulfillment of the promise of the Father, so as they may be equipped for the work at hand. It is as if this entire Easter season up to this point has been a time of preparation, a time of preparing for the task of proclaiming the gospel to all those we encounter in our lives. This idea of preparation reminds me a lot about what the Easter seasons were like for me growing up in New England. As a Portuguese American, the Easter season is filled with a variety of religious customs and traditions, all intended to help us prepare for the coming of the Holy Spirit and to help us profess the faith to one another. As some of you may already know, my parents migrated to this country from the Portuguese islands of the Azores. They settled in Massachusetts alongside many other immigrants from the islands. As they established a life for themselves here in this country, they helped to introduce and maintain a variety of traditions and customs from the old country, as part of the way we celebrate and live our faith. Some of my greatest childhood memories comes from these traditions that my family works to maintain and practice to this day. Probably one of the more unique pious traditions that we celebrate during the Easter season in my culture is one that involves the usage of a crown that is oftentimes referred to as the crown of the Holy Ghost. This is a tradition that is attributed to our beloved Saint Queen Elizabeth of Portugal, who was born in the year 1271 AD. Saint Elizabeth was well known among the people for having the custom of going out into the countryside and taking food to feed the poor peasant children. Not only would she bring food for them, but she would also bring along her crown, which she would allow the children to wear upon their heads. As she would place her crown upon the heads of the children, she would remind them that regardless of their situation in life, as children of God, they were members of royalty because they were members of God's royal family. Saint Elizabeth became well known for practicing this custom throughout her life. And to a certain degree, I would think that maybe this was her way of spreading the gospel message to the world around her by simply reminding us that we are all God's children. As time went on, this custom of St. Elizabeth's eventually developed into a strong part of the way us Portuguese celebrate the Easter season and a feast of Pentecost. Every Sunday of the Easter season following Mass, the children of the parish are invited to come up in front of the altar, where they are crowned with a crown of the Holy Ghost. While the children are being crowned, the priest will oftentimes remind them and all of us in attendance the words that St. Elizabeth used to speak so many years ago. Remember that as a child of God, you are royalty, for you are a member of His royal family. I would hear these words spoken so often that they would serve both as a challenge and as a reminder to me about what it is the appropriate conduct for a child of God's family. Personally, it would make me think about the words I would say and use to others that I would encounter. The more I thought about it, the more I thought to myself that as a child of God, I should not be using words that contain bad language. I should be avoiding participating in gossip and spreading rumors about others. After all, we're all God's children, are we not? Granted, there are times when I don't always do the best job when it comes to avoiding the use of such language. But the Holy Spirit continues to work with me and with all of us to become good examples of what it means to be one of God's children. The Holy Spirit works within each one of us to try and speak a language that is appropriate for a child of God. I think that maybe this is one possible example of what it means in today's gospel when it is stated that believers will be able to speak a new language. For when we allow God through the power of the Holy Spirit to work within us, we begin to speak a language that is different from the language of this world. We begin to speak a new language that is reflective of God's love for His children. Our gospel account speaks of many other signs that will accompany the believers as they profess the gospel. For me, I believe that these signs are better understood from more of a spiritual standpoint than a literal standpoint. For instance, one of the other signs spoken about in our gospel today states that the believer will be able to handle serpents. Now, in my mind, that takes me right back to the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve once tried to handle a serpent by themselves without the help of God, and it didn't go very well for them. In our lives, we are constantly encountering the serpent. Yet the best way for us to handle the temptations and the lies of the evil one is by maintaining a relationship with our Lord and Savior. If we try to face this world alone, then we are bound to fail. But with Jesus in our lives and in our hearts, we will succeed. We need the Lord in our lives to help us to remain on our path towards heaven. Yet all too often, so many of us lose our way along the journey. And Jesus commands us this day to proclaim the gospel to all of the world, to all those who have lost their way. Because we are all in need of hearing the gospel message. There are so many souls in this world who are hungering for the gospel message. We must not be afraid to share the message of Jesus with them. Evangelization can seem like an overwhelming task to try and accomplish. That is why God sends us His Spirit to assist us in our task of proclaiming the gospel message, each in accordance to His own strengths and weaknesses. Sometimes, when I think of the task of evangelization, I tend to imagine it like trying to feed a child. Because when we share the gospel with others, we are in many ways helping to feed their minds and hearts with the Word of God. For when a child is born, that child is first given milk as its source of food. Then as a child grows older, The child's mother will blend something into the milk to help thicken it up. In time, the child continues to grow and develop, and the mother will then begin to give that child some pureed fruits and vegetables, till finally one day, that child is able to handle solid foods. Every step of the journey of helping a child go from milk to solid foods is filled with both struggles and joys, because some of those stages of development may seem easier than others. This is what it's like to evangelize. It begins slowly with maybe us offering a simple phrase about God's love to one another, or maybe even an invite to come with us to Mass. Then in time, it develops within that person into a much greater hunger and desire for God. Some of us have the skills and the abilities to take a person from consuming milk all the way up to eating solids with regards to teaching them the message of the gospel. And that is good. But then, some of us, we are better at helping someone at a certain point of the journey towards learning the gospel. And that too is okay. Because whatever we can do to advance the gospel in this world can have a monumental effect in the life of that one who is starving to hear the gospel message proclaimed to them this very day. The world we live in is starving to be fed the good news of our Lord and Savior. Will we allow the Holy Spirit then to strengthen us, to give us the courage we need to share the gospel message which we receive here at this altar with all of the world by simply living lives in union with our Lord and Savior, so that when our time has come to ascend to our Lord and God in heaven, to follow Him up there, may He look upon us and say to each and every one of us, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done."